This morning, we're moving along through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in chapter 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 4, 17, down through chapter 5, verse 21. Now, the subject of our text is an exhortation to newness of life while we're in this world. And our text will contrast the philosophy of a corrupt life and the philosophy of a pure life. So we begin in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I won't go through all the introduction of Ephesians again in the first 3.5 chapters, but rather we'll begin in verse 17, where he talks about the moral condition of the Gentiles. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All right, that's our text, a long one. Back in verse 17. All right. Again, Paul is comparing the unsaved walk of a person and the walk of a saved person. The old man, woman, boy, or child, the new man, woman, boy, or child. He tells us, he testifies in the Lord, he says in verse 17, that you henceforth, from now on, from this point forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Well, we know that vanity usually points to a pride, doesn't it? It does. We're proud of ourselves. Well, he tells us not to walk in the vanity of our minds, as others do, and as we did at one time. But now, well, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So why do others not walk for the Lord? Why do others not love Him? Why do the unsaved have enmity in their heart toward Him, which is a hatred? Why is their happiness when they're not thinking about God, but rather thinking about themselves? Well, it's because, verse 18 tells us, the understanding darkened because they are alienated from the life of God through something. And that something is not knowing about Him, not having a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Ignorance. And that's what he's talking about here. Remember, we've talked much about how we come to know the truth of salvation through Jesus Christ. It was because we have been enlightened, isn't it? Because we were chosen before the foundation of the world. It's because God has always worked out all the details, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those that have gone on before us. All leading to today and right now. He's worked all those things together. And He has given us this saving understanding of Him. That's why they walk in ignorance. And it's because of the blindness of their heart. Our hearts were blind also, weren't they? They were. Until the Holy Spirit of God, under a promise, a covenant, with God the Father and God the Son, came and enlightened us. We walked in darkness too. But not anymore. Because the light has been shined in our hearts. So that now, our hearts are not blind, but rather they see. Amen. And what do they see but Jesus Christ, Amen. Our Savior. The only way, the only truth, and the only life. Now, they walk in the vanity of their mind because their understanding is darkened, because they're alienated, separated from the life of God, because they don't know Him, because of the ignorance that is in them, because their hearts are blinded. Praise God if you see the truth in Jesus Christ today, because you've been shown that by the power of God, not of yourselves. Again, he's talking about the fallen moral condition of man who is alienated from God, who doesn't know God, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, impurity, to work all uncleanness with greediness. There again is the natural man living in the vanity of his mind in his pride. He wants to be his own God, doesn't he? Yes, and that began where? In the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Yes, he wanted to be his own God, and that has not changed in the fallen nature of mankind. They are past feeling. But ye, verse 20, have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Well, that's quite a statement right there, isn't it? If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. What did God the Father say from a cloud at the Mount of Transfiguration? He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he said, hear ye him. Hear him. Paul says, if you have heard him, as God has commanded, and have been taught by him, there's that saving knowledge, there's that enlightenment. We never would have got it without him. Without him bringing these black words on white pages to life for us. Now we hear him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Many people in the world know that there was a Jesus. But do they understand the truth in Jesus? Do they understand who Jesus really was and what he really did? A lot don't. That is what the Holy Spirit of God teaches us. The truth in Jesus. He teaches us that. We can't get that on our own. We can't understand it on our own. Why? Because our hearts are blind. Because naturally we're alienated from God because of the fall in the Garden of Eden. God must quicken the heart. Verse 21 again. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. And that's not just speaking words with someone else conversation, but rather this is habitual living of life, the way we live our life, the way we do relate to each other, the way we do relate to God, our relationship with him and our relationship with each other and others. That you put this off, forsake it. The former way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, the new man, the new life. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on, now we've already put off the old man, that's what he is telling us to do. Now put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know that the new person that you are, the born-again Christian, the born-again Spirit of God that lives within you, never sin. The new man has no connection with sin. It's the old man that we're still fighting. Those lusts, those temptations, they are the old man's temptations. The new man has been created by God in righteousness and true holiness. You see that separation? It's there. It's just like water and oil. It doesn't mix. You can shake them up all day, but when you set it down, they're separate. They don't mix. Wherefore, verse 25, putting away lying. Now he's going to describe how to do what he just instructed us to do. Number one, don't do these things. Number two, do these things. Put off the old man. Number one, put on the new man, by the way, which is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, knowing that, wherefore, having that as our basis, as our rock to stand on, as the foundation of our life, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry. Okay, you're going to get angry. But don't let it tell you what to do. Don't let it control your actions or your speech. Be angry and sin not. Stop it. Close it off. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you were angry yesterday, you should not be angry today over the same thing. Put it away. Don't let it control you. It will. The sinfulness of this world gets in our minds, and it will control us. It will cause us to do and say things that we don't want to do and say. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You know, the devil will use anybody that he can to try to steal your joy. You have joy in the Lord that is unique. And it's your joy. It's as unique as your spiritual life. That joy was a gift that came with the Holy Spirit. The faith in Jesus Christ. He may can take our happiness away in a circumstance. But Paul says that nothing can separate us from the origin of that joy. And that is the love of God. Nothing can separate us from that. We are able to continue on. Each day is a new day. We can put the past behind us, can't we? The Lord did. The Lord said He had put our sins as far as east is from the west. That's gone, isn't it? It is. And so it should be also with us. We have that way of being, that way of living. Coming back constantly to His Word. Coming back constantly to depending on Him. Coming back constantly to laying all of our problems before Him. And don't get up in the morning and pick them up again, no. Give them to God. He really is in control of everything. He can handle it. He won't say the wrong thing. He won't do the wrong thing. And as we depend on Him, neither will we. Because this new man that we are, as He reigns, as He is dominant in our life, He won't say or do the wrong things either. Being led by the Holy Spirit, trusting in this leadership. And then He goes into some details. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's a hard one too, isn't it? Yes, because of circumstances. Certain circumstances come up. It may be pain. It may be excitement. It may be grief. It could be anything. And in that circumstance, we are tempted to say things that we would never want to come out of our mouth, aren't we? It's there. That temptation is there. And so He reminds us of that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but rather than corrupt communication, this is what you should allow to come out of your mouth. That which is good to the use of edifying, building up, strengthening others, whoever we're speaking to, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Again, and we've covered this lately, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing can touch us. We need to realize how strong we are in Him. Nothing can touch us. God has already defeated all of our enemies. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. Those that have gone on before us, who were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, they are rejoicing every moment right now. They're in heaven with the Lord. Sealed. Nothing can hinder our going to heaven, our being with the Lord when we're absent from this body. Nothing at all. He says, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and all these go together, don't they? Let all these things be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another and tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. Oh, if we just look at ourselves before we look at the faults of others, we would be a lot more compassionate, a lot more tenderhearted, wouldn't we? We would. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, that's the only reason your sins have been forgiven. For Christ's sake. Because He stood between you and the righteous judgment of God the Father against sin. He and only He could, and He did, voluntarily. Be ye therefore followers of God, even as dear children. You remember a little child, how they follow their parents around everywhere, don't they? They do. They'll be hanging on your leg when you're trying to do something. That's how we should be followers of God. Knowing that He has all the answers. Knowing that all good things come from Him. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. More vanity. Sounds like the preacher of Ecclesiastes, doesn't it? Everything is vanity if it doesn't pertain to God, if it doesn't glorify Him. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Why do we want to return to the things of darkness? It's because the natural man still lives within us. That's why. But praise God, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the day's coming. The day's coming soon when we will not have that side of us that tends toward darkness, that tends to drag us toward darkness of this world. But we will walk as children of the light. Oh, that we would feed this new man, that we would be in the Word of God, the manna from heaven that strengthens us. That we wouldn't be weak and pulled down by the things of this world. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So let's not speak of them. So let's be a peculiar people that puts those things behind them. First in heart and mind, and then in daily living. Let's not even think about those corrupt things. And we won't be drawn back to them. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. God sees all things, doesn't He? He knows all things. Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And with that light, there is the power to understand. There is enlightenment. There is strength. See then that you walk circumspectly. That we're careful how we walk. That we think about what we're going to say and do before we say and do them. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Well, that's a message within itself, isn't it? Redeeming the time. We are subject to time. We are under the restraints of time. God is not. But we are. So time is of the utmost importance, isn't it? We need to realize that this time that we have together to worship our God in His presence, this particular time is never going to be repeated. Never. This day in your life is never going to be repeated. So Paul tells us to walk circumspectly. Now, because we're not promised tomorrow, we don't know how much time we have, do we? No. Because the days are evil. The temptations are many, and they're everywhere. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. For the will of the Lord is that we walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, because that's who He's pleased with. And He's pleased with you if you're in Jesus Christ. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, rejoicing in the Lord, in other words, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's that joy that can't be touched. We're expressing our joy when we sing hymns unto the Lord, when we sing praises to Him. That joy is coming to the surface. That's that joy that can't be touched. Happiness comes from joy, certainly. Certainly. Happiness in this life can be touched again, I say, by circumstance, but not the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Again, it's from the love of God, and nothing can separate us from His love. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would spend our time in prayer. That we would actually count our many blessings. And praise Him and thank Him for what He does for us. We are so spoiled, aren't we? We are. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He's talked a lot about wisdom here and understanding. And then he says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, we're told that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. It is. So he shows us who we are, and he shows us who he is. And in our new nature, that fear of God is a natural thing. It comes naturally in our new nature because we see that he truly is God, the sovereign God of the universe. Yet he's loved us forever as far as we're concerned. He's always loved us. And he's showing us that love by drawing us unto him. Oh, what a God. We know the will of God for our lives, don't we? We do. We read it all the time. It's here. Be like his son. Follow his son. The one that loved you so much that he gave his life for you. Oh, won't we follow him? If we love him, he said we will, didn't he? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He also asked, why say that you love me, but then you don't do what I say, what I tell you? Oh, that we would trust his truth enough to obey it. And that new man would be strengthened every day, and this old man, he would be weakened every day. That's what's happening in this travel from now until the time when the purchased possession, Paul called it, that's us, is redeemed by God the Father. And we're going to be with him with no sinfulness, only this life that has been created by him in righteousness and holiness. Only this new person survives, and praise God for that. It's in his strength that we continue.